in the 21st century. We've taken it out of the vocabulary to the point that so many times our children no longer are taught to say please and thank you anymore. Many of our teachers in our school system no longer hear those words from their students anymore. Many of our workers, bosses, and those in the upper echelon of management do not hear thank you from their employees anymore. We've simply taken the word out of the vernacular of the way we speak today. And I tell you, the Bible is full with the very fact that you and I are supposed to say thank you. Matter of fact, our life ought to be lived as a complete, total expression of thank you. And something very incredible happened to a Samaritan. One of the 10 lepers, the hated Samaritan, the despised one, not even a Jew. And something incredible happened to him when he came back to say thank you. Now, I felt a little bit like a leper a few minutes ago, everybody welcoming each other, and I turned around the choir, and much of you have reached out your hand to me today, and because of this stuff, I didn't want to shake your hand and pass it on. Doctors are saying today that that's the best and quickest way to pass on any disease. So I was trying to be nice, but I felt so much like I needed to put my hands in my pockets and just stand there, and that I did in many respects. Can you imagine being a leper? In the Old Testament book of Leviticus, it talks about the fact that leprosy was never contagious. And yet you read in medical journals and whatever, it's not a contagious disease from that standpoint, but it was a sickness that was attributed to sin in the Old Testament, to the point that there were so many laws about having leprosy that started out on the eyelids and then spread to the face, down the arms, across the chest and back. And it began with small pimple-like risings on the skin. They've filled with pus and fluid. They got large and would break. And the only relief from a leper would be that he break that pus-filled pocket, which sounds gory before lunch. But that's exactly what it was. And as a result, the very fact he had to declare himself unclean, to the point that the Torah, the law, the Pentateuch, literally said specific laws about the leper, where he could or could not go, even to the point of how close the leper could be or get to someone in that day and time. He was an outcast. He was set apart, not in a good way. He was thought to be incurable in any way, form, or fashion. But the leper himself was considered unclean. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 13 that he would have to stand off from afar off. And I can't cry the word today by no means. But he would have to say unclean. His clothing would reflect the fact that he was a leper. That you could get nowhere near this man. Or that uncleanness would be transferred to you. The leper was judged to be dead. Actually the living dead. Can you imagine? We talk about him, we hear in this day and time, in execution, dead man walking. That's exactly what was happening to the leper. As far as society was concerned, the leper was dead, but yet he was still alive. He was banished from society as an outcast, totally ostracized from everyone, no matter what. He was thought to be a polluted individual, have nothing to do with that leper. They were required to live outside the camp, outside the city. And the disease was a very, very destructive disease. I think of those 10 lepers. And I think of that Samaritan who came back to say thank you. And I think of this table. The word Eucharistos in the Greek, we get the word Eucharist from it. It does not mean communion. What it does mean is it means to give thanks. Eucharisteo in the Greek is simply the first person singular. I give thanks. So we come to this table, as the Lord called it, a supper of thanksgiving, the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper. We come this morning to give thanks. And my question to all of us, we're in a crowd. How many of us have said thank you, God, this week? I remember going to Memorial Hospital in Chattanooga, Tennessee. It's a Catholic hospital there, and I haven't been there in years in the hospital, but on each of the elevator doors, there was a black laminated sign, and it simply read, "Have you said thank you, God, today?" I mean, the very fact of saying, "Lord, thank you that I got up out of bed. Thank you for the breath I just took in. Thank you for the ability to think. Thank you for the ability to study and learn. Thank you for the ability to taste. Thank you is gone from our vocabulary." I challenge you this week of Thanksgiving to start something, though you've done it all your life, to renew it and make it stronger, and that's constantly say thank you to God. Can you imagine being God and the amount of complaints he gets from all of us down here? You know, Lord, if you just see fit to cool this building off, it sure would be nicer. Or if you just see fit to turn it up a little warmer, I'd feel better. Or, Lord, you know, we just forget oftentimes. We get wrapped up in our daily walk and we forget. But one came back and something very extraordinary happened. Very briefly, watch this outline with me in these verses. Here's what happened to those lepers. All those lepers were blessed and should have been what? Thankful. All 10 of them. Every one of us in this house ought to be. And we are, folks. We know that. But it's expressing. It's taking the time to say thank you. I've received so many thank you letters from you. I received a thank you note from our Lift Worship folks as we all got together last Sunday evening, hoping and praying for Connie and I to have a great week off. And it was an incredible week where we just went, relaxed, and did absolutely nothing. I didn't get this until yesterday. And I thank you for that. I thank you for the prayers for your pastor and Connie and for what God's called us to do here. Thank you. Don't stop. But all of these lepers should have come back. God cleansed them all. Go show yourself to the priest. And once they did what God did, they obeyed what the Lord told them to do. They went to do it, and they were cleansed, and 9 ran off in different directions. All, however, should have been thankful. And the scripture is very explicit about it. But I want you to look at verses 15 and 16 with me in the second place. One came back and he gave thanks. Literally came back. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned, excuse me, with a loud voice. And he glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And look what it says. And he was a Samaritan. Wow. What did he do? Yes, he went back and hugged Jesus and shook his hand, but he did something so much more. He knew something had happened to him that was incredible, that was supernatural. He knew something was changed in his life, and so he glorified God, the Bible says. He fell on his face and worshiped Jesus. So he didn't just come back to say a mere thank you. It went far beyond the word thank you. He worshiped. And my question to all of us for this Thanksgiving season is, yes, we ought to say thank you. But that leper did more. He worshiped God. I mean, he put his life. When you go to someone, and if you knelt down in front of them and on your face on the floor before them in an act of worship, what would you think if someone came up to you like that? And this leper did that to Jesus. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. He learned the true definition of worship, that leper. You and I, this Thanksgiving season, as we say thank you, let our lives, folks, everything that we do, be lived in worship to God. No matter what you do throughout your life under God, let it be an expression of your worship to God. It's more than just saying thanks before the meal. It's learning to worship. And this man did that. But look at verse 17 with me. Most did not give thanks. It's what the Bible says. Jesus says, weren't there 10 of you cleansed? Where are they? And folks, there's a lesson in the behavior of the lepers here. Christ expects us to return to Him continually and glorify Him and worship Him as the source, capital S, of our power and strength. Constant thank you, constant lives lived daily in worship to God. Then in the fourth place, in verse 18, the most rejected was the most thankful. The most rejected was the most thankful. Verse 18, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner, this Samaritan? You mean he's the only one? Not even the Jews came back to say thank you? That word foreigner, that word stranger, is a word that means one that has no hope. One that has without God and the world. It has no hope whatsoever. He's a stranger. But then I want you to look at verse 19 and number 5 in your outline with me. Look at verse 19. It says, the thankful man was the only one what? Saved spiritually. The only one saved spiritually. And he said to him, arise your way. Your faith has made you well. I want to show you something about that last leper that you may can't see in the English language of your translation, but in the Greek, it's as clear can be. It says, the word says that your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you whole. What happened with that faith? What did this man have? Yes, he had faith, but even something more. He believed Jesus without question. There was no doubt. There was no holding back. This man came and he fell down at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus, through his faith, did something for him. The Bible says he made that leper whole. In the Greek language, the word is a little word that is pronounced sesquen, which literally means to be made whole. Literally, he saved you. The man was clearly whole in his body. God had cleaned him up. You could see that without question, but something more happened to that one leper who came back. His life was changed forever. Through the leper's faith in Jesus, Jesus Christ saved him. So now this leper, one leper, is saved from the inside out. Wow. Have you seen that before? Have you seen the fact that the leper was changed by the power of God at that moment? And why? Not simply because he came back to say thank you, but what did that leper have that the other nine didn't have? Faith. Faith. So folks, we come to this table. And our deacons, I want you to come now, men that are coming to serve this supper, this Lord's Supper to our congregation. And folks, we come to this table to say thank you. And so when you hold that little piece of matzah, that little piece of unleavened bread in your hand, which literally has no taste, you remember the stranger, the foreigner, the Samaritan, he was cut off without hope. And he came to Jesus, and he fell down at his feet, and Jesus made him whole. This morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, would you allow Jesus Christ, not the supper, Jesus Christ to do for you what he did for that leper? Would you be willing to say to him this morning, thank you? But even more, would you be willing to say, Father, I'm in need of a Savior, and I need you, Jesus. And you confess your sin to him, realizing the only hope you have is as the leper, the only hope he had is through Jesus, so it is through him to you. And you come and you say to Jesus, I love you, Lord, and I accept you into my life as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sin and cleanse me at this moment. And then immediately, folks, 1 John 1:9 goes to work. If you confess your sin, I am faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. Jesus did that for that leper. Jesus will do that for you today. And then you come to the table. You see, the table is for believers. And in particular, those immersed, baptized believers. So that's why we come to this table as the body of Christ. And so this morning, as you hold that piece of bread and you drink from that cup, let the words of your lips and your heart be, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father, you've taught us to look deep into our lives before we ever come to this table, and to cleanse our lives of all known sin so that we come to this table clean before you. Father, we have no right to heaven other than through the blood of Jesus. And we acknowledge that fact, that without you, Lord Jesus, we are nothing. And Father, we're all in the same boat in this house. We are one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. And we've all sinned. And Lord, I'm saying there's sin I've committed I don't even know I've committed. And I come and confess that to you right now. And I lay it before your feet. And then, Father, there's sin I've committed and sin this church and we've committed that we know we've done it. And, Father, we confess that to you. And, Lord, as we confess that sin, we trust without question your holy, infallible word that you have not only forgiven us of that sin, you've washed it away. It's all been made clean. And so now, Lord Jesus, allow us to hold this bread in our hand and to partake of that bread. Allow us to hold this cup in our hand and partake of that cup. And may we be a people of God this morning just saying thank you. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You come to the table now as we come to celebrate with our Lord the service of the Lord's Supper. The Bible said that on the same night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the cup after and the bread after the supper. Remember what Jesus did? He held up the bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body which is broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me. So our deacons are going to serve to you the bread. After which we are going, before we partake, we will bless that bread. And it's a time for you as you hold that bread in your hand to ponder these words. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the last breath I took in. Thank you for the ability to taste. Thank you for the ability to see. Will you do that this morning? As you hold that piece of bread, thank God for what you have. Gentlemen, would you serve that now to our people?